Are you tired of feeling tired? Do you wish you could turn back the clock on aging? NT-Factor Lipids is the breakthrough supplement that's scientifically proven to repair and renew your body's cells. NT-Factor Lipids are identical to the phospholipids found in your cellular membranes. They've been shown to repair mitochondrial damage, a primary cause of biological aging. In clinical trials, NT-Factor therapy resulted in a 26.8% increase in mitochondrial function, restoring it to levels found in young adults. NT-Factor has also been shown to reduce fatigue by up to 43% and has even been shown to significantly reduce a wide range of symptoms and improve the quality of life in patients with various conditions like chronic fatigue and those undergoing chemotherapy. I've been using NT-Factor for years and prescribe it for my patients. You can find the NT-Factor line of nutritional formulas at your favorite health food store or online retailer. Or, to order direct, call 800-982-9158, 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to another hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. I'm with you for this hour, and 877-726-8255 is the number to call with questions. You can record a question anytime during the week, and we'll answer it here on the program. Among the things we're going to talk about this hour, it's kind of got a culinary flavor. Osteoarthritis soup and colostrum tarts are on the menu, and also olives are rounding out the menu this hour in terms of their health benefits. Let's start with osteoarthritis soup. This is an interesting study from Western Ontario McMaster's University, where patients ate a broccoli soup for 12 weeks. And correction, this is done at the University of East Anglia in Norwich, England. The Western Ontario McMaster's University has set up an osteoarthritis index. It's called a WOMAC score, which scores pain and disability associated with osteoarthritis. So the research done in East Anglia in England, and the patients who ate the broccoli soup for 12 weeks saw a significant reduction in their WOMAC pain score. The mean difference of 4.2% on a scale of 20 was statistically significant. And so what this was basically a fresh broccoli soup. And there's a picture of it. It's super green. And, you know, there may be an advantage of doing this over sulforaphane supplements, because they believe that the ingredient, the secret sauce to the soup that helps the WOMAC scores, is an ingredient called sulforaphane, which is a breakdown product of glucoraphanin. And they believe that it may be effective in osteoarthritis therapy in mouse models. This study was done in humans, but previous studies in mice showed that sulforaphane has demonstrated a protective role in reducing inflammation and cartilage destruction. So putting broccoli in soup, they say, was the group's approach to making it both palatable and standardizable as a nutraceutical, although there was an exclusion granted to people who were broccoli haters. There's some people who just, no way, no how. Well, they're going to eat broccoli. They'd rather take the pill. The researchers say the vegetable is widely accessible, can be used on a large scale. And so the question is, you know, will steamed broccoli be equally efficacious? But the numbers were impressive in this short 12-week trial. They found that numerical advantages for the broccoli soup were also seen for other patient-reported measures of pain, overall worse day, and pain in other joints. Interesting study. I wonder what they use as a placebo. They had a control soup that was, I guess it was green, so as to seem like the broccoli soup, but there was little sign of a placebo effect with the control group. Just having a green soup, I mean, yeah, there may be something to it. It's like, yeah, I believe that the soup is going to help me. But, you know, interestingly, the placebo effect with the control soup was negligible. So there you have it. Broccoli soup. Give it a shot for your osteoarthritis. All right, let's take one of your recorded questions. Let's hear it.
I'd like to know how much water or liquids someone should take over the course of a 24-hour day.
Does this caller sound a little dehydrated? I mean, maybe benefit from some additional hydration, although, you know, it's not clear. There's a lot of things that could potentially be going on with a scratchy voice. So, this is a pretty controversial area, because we now have kind of a mania for hydration. And, you know, young, attractive women are walking around, you know, like gunslingers with holsters of bottled water. And they're, you know, taking swigs of it like cowboys in a saloon because they're in dread fear of dehydration. And dehydration or underhydration can be a problem. It's actually been shown that underhydration can even affect your mental acuity. There's really problems associated with that. On the other hand, overhydration can be a problem too. And, you know, we've only to look at marathon runners who inadvertently overhydrate, you know, because they're hot, they're thirsty, but they drink just water without necessary electrolytes. And what they develop is hyponatremia or a low blood sodium. So standard recommendation is 15.5 cups for men and 11.5 cups of water for women. And of course, you know, the problem is that people drink all kinds of beverages, sugary beverages, and that's not great. People drink caffeinated beverages, and that's not great because there may be some dehydration associated with that. The net effect should be around that. But, you know, that's for the typical person. So who's typical? People are various sizes. People have various activity levels. People have various exposures to heat and climate. You know, guys, digging ditches, on construction crews may have greater hydration requirements than people sitting in an office tapping away at a keyboard. And then there are various medical conditions. You know, say you're taking a diuretic. You may be at risk of dehydration because your kidneys are being prompted to force excess fluid out of your body. Then there's the 8x8 rule. You know, 8 ounce glasses of water per day. Well, that's not really pertinent either. So, you know, one of the ways that you can determine that is with a blood test. And you can look at people's levels of sodium. And sometimes you have high levels of sodium, which can be due to a variety of conditions, but often is a tip-off to underhydration. And the acceptable range of sodium, the body regulates sodium levels very carefully, because if you go out of range, you can have all kinds of havoc metabolically. Your optimal range is 135 to 145. But it's been stated that it's better to keep your sodium on the lower end of the scale, less than 140 or less than 141, but probably not in the low 130s. That might suggest that you are hyperhydrating or that you have a medical condition that causes you to have mineral loss. So there you have it. Different strokes for different folks. It varies all over the board. There is no one-size-fits-all when it comes to hydration. I think hydration, though, is a little bit overplayed. because people are sometimes compulsive water drinkers. There's actually a psychiatric term for it. It's dipsomania. And, you know, I think we have a cultural moment of dipsomania because so many people are trying to fend off dehydration when, you know, just obeying thirst signals may be the right way to go. Thirst signals, of course, are blunted in certain disease states. And as you get older, thirst signals may not be the proper cue. But generally, listen to your body and obey your thirst signals. I think I'm going to reach for a cup of decaf in a moment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands that I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com.
Have you ever heard someone say that probiotics didn't work for them? Since all probiotics are not the same, the probiotic you choose can make the difference between superior results and no results. Look for an enriched formula containing these three key components for best results: probiotics, prebiotics, and postbiotics. A worldwide leader in microbiome health for over 40 years, Dr. Ohira's Probiotics is an enriched full-spectrum probiotic system fermenting multiple strains of probiotic bacteria and nourishing prebiotics. The result? Transformative postbiotic metabolites that maintain and support the biodiversity of flora in your gut for optimal digestion, gut-brain, and immune health. Dr. Ohira's, certified vegetarian, free of gluten, allergens, dairy, and GMOs. For a superior probiotic formula, get Dr. Ohira's probiotics today at fine natural health retailers nationwide and online.
Back to Intelligent Medicine, Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, 877-726-8255. And I think we have a question that kind of relates to the previous subject, which is how much should you drink? We talked a little bit about sodium levels, and so let's hear it.
My doctor has let me know that my blood readings show that I am low in sodium, and so I'm adding a little bit more salt to my meals. My question to you is, what is the significance of this? Is this a problem to have sodium levels that are too low?
Okay, yeah. Let me just speak generally about little aberrations on blood tests. And, you know, we have these norms, and now we share blood tests with patients, and often patients will, you know, go home and look at the range or see an alert like this is high, this is low, you know, and that'll be a source of great consternation to them. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't, you know, they should just listen to their doctors and not bother to engage in enlightened self-care. These slight variations from normal need to be interpreted in the context of your overall health. And sometimes a low sodium is so drastic that it prompts a medical workup to see if there's a problem. There may be, you know, problem with the hormone regulation of sodium. There's a condition called syndrome of inappropriate ADH secretion, which is rare, but it can cause, you know, low sodium. But that is rare. That's kind of a zebra on the edge of our peripheral vision. And more common causes are, you know, sometimes diuretic use prompts us to lose sodium. And sometimes you have excess hydration, as I mentioned earlier. You can reduce your sodium. It's not that the sodium is low. It's just that you're diluting the sodium. You're over diluting it so that the blood level appears to be low. So two ways to correct it. One is to curb your fluid intake. of especially water, which is no sodium whatsoever, and maybe increase your sodium intake. Now, increasing sodium intake is problematic in people who have high blood pressure, but there are a lot of people who have low sodium and they're kind of weak and woozy. And they may discover that, you know, we've also been programmed to be salt phobic in the society. And for some people, that makes sense. It causes problems, increases their risk of high blood pressure, which can lead to heart problems and stroke and all kinds of mischief. But for some people, they are conscientious, healthy people, and they avoid sodium like the plague. And that may be a disservice, that they need a little more sodium in their diets from salted foods or from additional table salt. So that may be the answer to your problem. Is it a dire problem? I generally consider it, you know, something that, you know, we will repeat the test after people do a little behavior modification around their fluid intake and their sodium intake. And usually it falls back into place. So I'd reassure you that this is not a biggie. This item, you know, we all have our golden hour. Hey, 4th of July weekend is a good time to explore this. Our time to de-stress and reflect to reach new levels of calm and contentment. Well, to help you achieve your goals, check out Plus CBD's Reserve Collection. It's crafted using the highest quality full-spectrum hemp oil for bigger, broader effects to help you experience deeper relaxation and brighter mood. I'm a big proponent of CBD to tonify the endocannabinoid system, which regulates many of our most critical bodily functions, such as learning and memory, emotional processing, sleep, temperature, and pain control and inflammatory and immune responses. CBD is a real breakthrough in herbal products. The CBD brand that I take is Plus CBD from CB Sciences. Their Reserve Collection is a specially curated blend of cannabinoids, rich and bold, for when intense support is needed. Enjoy a deeper CBD experience with Plus CBD's Reserve Collection of oils and gummies. To learn more and to order, visit pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman30 for, get this, 30% off. Yeah, we really want you to try it. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman for Plus CBD's Reserve Collection. All right. We promised to share with you the latest information about a culinary delight that is being offered in England. I don't know if any restaurants in the U.S. are offering this yet. A colostrum tart, the wonder ingredient adopted by chefs and wellness gurus. This comes to us from the lifestyle section of Yahoo.com. Colostrum tart, anyone? The wonder ingredient adopted by chefs and wellness gurus. Okay. Don't worry, folks. This is not human colostrum. This is bovine colostrum. Guests at a restaurant called, I can't even pronounce the name. It's got such a fancy name, I can't even pronounce it. A restaurant in North Yorkshire finished their meal with a bite-sized custard tart. It's served warm and showered in freshly grated nutmeg. It is, the ingredient is sweetened bovine colostrum. Now, you know, this is kind of a novelty thing, and it sounds like kind of a joke, but bovine colostrum has a lot of benefits. I personally take it in my shake, and colostrum actually has healing effects on the gut. It contains beneficial immunoglobulins. It contains prebiotics, and so maybe there's something to it. It sounds kind of icky. It's the first milk produced by female mammals after giving birth, and it's vital for the newborn. It's used a lot in agriculture. So maybe, just maybe, a colostrum tart is not such a ridiculous thing. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. In my 40-year history of broadcasting, I have never endorsed a weight loss product because most don't deliver, until now. Science behind CaloCurb is so compelling that I can support it as a plausible alternative for curbing appetite and enhancing satiety to help you shed pounds. The active ingredient in CaloCurb, Amerisate, comes from a specific New Zealand-grown hops flower, which works by activating your body's own appetite-regulating chemical messengers, including GLP-1, which signals specific areas of the brain to effectively manage hunger in just 1 hour. CaloCurb is clinically proven to reduce hunger by 30%.
cravings by 40%, and calorie intake by an average of 18%. CaliCurb is a safe, effective, and affordable natural appetite-suppressing supplement made in the United States with no chemicals, synthetics, or caffeine, and it doesn't cause jitters. Take control of your eating habits and cravings naturally with CaliCurb. For more information and order, just go to CaliCurb.com. That's CaliCurb.com. Use coupon code DH10 for 10% off. That's CaliCurb.com. Coupon code DH10 for CaliCurb. Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, another segment where we discuss things that are on your mind. You can call us at 877-726-8255, and also some of the most important news stories of the week. This one is interesting because it's a story about the criteria that we set for whether people need to be on statin drugs. And what we've seen is rapidly expanding prescribing of statin drugs. Statin drugs began as a hedge against people who had super high cholesterol. If you had cholesterol, say, over 300, back in the 1970s, 1980s, when these drugs came into vogue, they were employed. But you could get away with the cholesterol in the 200s. They have kind of changed the goalpost. Now they say that if you have had any kind of heart problem, you need to be on a statin. If you have any kind of diabetes, you need to be on a statin. If you've had a stroke, you need to be on a statin. They have actual guidelines that help physicians decide whether to put people on statins. And in fact, a lot of doctors use EMRs, which are electronic medical record systems. They interact with these to do their notes and to file for insurance. And a lot of EMRs have built-in algorithms that prompt the doctor, did you forget to put this patient on a statin? Which statin would you like to put this patient on? Based on the analysis of the numbers that they input. And so there's actually a funny thing happened when they reevaluated these guidelines. They now say, and this is based on an article in JAMA Internal Medicine, Journal of the American Medical Association. If national guidelines are revised to incorporate a new risk equation, this is kind of a plug-in. You can actually find some of these risk equations. They are plug-ins that you can plug in your numbers, whatever your numbers are. And then, certain other things. Are you diabetic? Do you have a family history of heart disease? A few things that are pertinent to your risk. They then tell you whether or not you are a candidate for cholesterol-lowering statins. But here's what they say, is that according to a study by researchers at the University of Pittsburgh, if national guidelines are revised to incorporate a new risk equation, about 40% fewer patients could meet the criteria. They say that at a population level, the number of adults recommended for statins could decrease from 45 million. Boy, the population of the United States is maybe 300 million. So, 45 million, that is like, 1/6 of the population should be on statins. But they say it could decrease from 45 million to 28 million. But at the same time, the study showed that most people who would be recommended to take statins are not currently taking them. So there's some people who maybe, according to the criteria, should be taking them. There are other people who, according to the criteria, are doing it so unnecessarily. So, So they say, and I'm quoting the lead author of the study, this is an opportunity to refocus our efforts and invest our resources in the populations of patients at the highest risk. Now, the problem that I have with this, they use something called a prevent equation, and I looked at it, and one of the problems with the prevent equation is that it does not leverage what to me is one of the most effective ways to determine whether people need a statin, which is to image the coronary arteries using a cheap and non-invasive test that doesn't deliver a lot of radiation. It's a coronary CT or an EBD heart scan that gives you an assessment of what's called
CAC, coronary artery calcium. It gives you a score ranging from zero, which is the best, to into the hundreds, and then there are intermediate scores. And depending on your age, I mean, if you're like 85 and you have a score, you know, like 75, you have some plaque, but is that the plaque that's going to kill you? There's not robust evidence that people with minimal cardiovascular risk benefit from statins past a certain age. But perhaps we have that finding at the age of 30. Well, that would be concerning because perhaps you have another 60 years ahead of you in which to accumulate risk. So using the PREVENT team, the team found that among the study's entire cohort, 10-year risk of developing heart disease was 4%. That's half as high as the risk calculated by the previous plug-in, which was 8%. So, wow, that suggests that an estimated 4.1 million patients who are currently taking statins would no longer be recommended to take them based on this new PREVENT study, which I think it may be a step in the right direction to eliminate the need for taking statins for some people, but it's not the perfect test. For example, I plugged in to the PREVENT algorithm with my numbers, and my numbers actually exaggerate my risk. I have a cholesterol that's north of 200, but I have an HDL that's in the 90s. I do have a family history of heart disease, but they don't ask me how much I exercise. They do ask me if I'm diabetic or have hypertension. I said no. But they put me in a kind of an intermittent immediate risk category, which doesn't seem appropriate given the fact that I have a zero coronary artery calcium score as of a few years back. So, you know, I think this whole issue needs to be revisited because our criteria for putting people on statins, some people think that we ought to put people, virtually everyone, on statins from the age of 20 onward because they're such a boon to mankind. Others, like myself, think we ought to be more careful in our statin prescribing. 877-726-8255. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter your body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. I hope you're enjoying your 4th of July Independence Day weekend. And 877-726-8255, the way to get through to us to record questions. Let's hear one of those questions.
What is your opinion about xylitol? I was taking xylitol mints, and then I heard that xylitol can affect the heart negatively. Thank you.
Okay, so we have to do a kind of a cleanup in aisle three around that story, because just as with erythritol, and I wrote a newsletter article on erythritol, my feeling about the Stanley Hazen study on erythritol. Remember, the same guy who has kind of blown the whistle on TMAO, claiming that a meat diet rich in carnitine can be a cause of heart disease because of something, a compound called TMAO, used the same methodology. And by the way, that turns out to be not true, that TMAO, the TMA controversy is unresolved at this point. It's unclear whether TMAO is something that we should routinely measure because it's a risk factor for cardiovascular disease. It may not be about the meat. It may be about the microbiome. The whole thing became muddled after great fanfare about 8 or 10 years ago. And the same research group then turned its sights on erythritol, which is a ubiquitous sweetener. It's often teamed with stevia and something called Truvia. I personally use a little Truvia in my tea in the morning as a non-caloric sweetener, and I'm not worried that that's going to cause cardiovascular disease because the study marshaled a lot of, I think, circumstantial evidence to suggest that erythritol was the culprit. And so they then turned their attention to xylitol, which is like erythritol, another sugar alcohol. It's used as a sweetener. It's also used in clear nasal products and in clear gum and the little lozenges that you can suck on, like mints. And there's clear benefits to xylitol in terms of your nasal passages, in terms of reducing the risk for allergies and infections, and also in terms of dental caries. So the evidence is very clear in terms of benefits. In terms of harms, it's been pointed out by people, I think, even more sophisticated than me. I recently read a review about this by a guy who I really respect in terms of his scientific acumen and his ability to critique studies, that one of the problems with the study that showed that xylitol was associated with higher risk for cardiovascular disease is that they did not account for the fact that the body actually makes xylitol. So it's not just the exogenous, the outside consumption of xylitol that may be associated with cardiovascular disease. It may be that people who are, say, insulin resistant, overweight, obese, you know, metabolically unfit, and at high risk for cardiovascular disease, make xylitol. The body can make it. So that, I think, is the major fly in the ointment to the xylitol study. Nonetheless, the press got it wrong, and that's partly because the Cleveland Clinic has a very effective PR department where they can ship articles very quickly to all the science editors around the country. And the science editors, maybe they lack the sophistication to be able to analyze the studies, or they have to hit press time really quickly, and, you know, the news you can use. And they write articles to say that xylitol can hike your cardiovascular risk, which is, I think, erroneous. Nonetheless, you know, xylitol, when taken orally, it has a side effect that limits your ability to take enormous amounts of xylitol, which is that it's a pretty potent laxative at high doses, you know, like teaspoons full. And so you probably would have the laxative effect that would prevent you from reaching the threshold where it could cause cardiovascular problems. So that's my take on the xylitol study altogether. Let me mention that, you know, I've been skeptical about weight loss products in my 40-year history of broadcasting. I have never, up to this time, endorsed a weight loss product because most don't deliver until now. The science behind CaliCurb is so compelling that I can support it as a plausible alternative for curbing appetite and enhancing satiety to help you shed pounds. The active ingredient CaliCurb, Amerisate, comes from a specific New Zealand-grown hops flower, which works by activating your body's own appetite-regulating chemical messengers, including GLP-1, which is in the news these days, which signals specific areas of the brain to effectively manage hunger in just 1 hour. CaliCurb is clinically proven to reduce hunger by 30%, cravings by 40%, and calorie intake by an average of 18%. CaliCurb is a safe, effective, and affordable natural appetite-suppressing supplement made in the United States with no chemicals, synthetics, or caffeine, and it doesn't cause jitters, unlike other purported weight loss supplements. Take control of your eating habits and cravings naturally with CaliCurb. For more information and to order, just go to CaliCurb.com. That's CaliCurb.com. We want you to try it, so use coupon code DH10, DH for Dr. H, DH10 for 10% off. That's CaliCurb.com, coupon code DH10 for CaliCurb. All right, this side of, you know, we know that olive oil is beneficial, and a new study suggests that a compound from olives has been identified that shows promise for treating obesity and diabetes. Now, you know, there's a whole lot of thing about drinking red wine as part of the French paradox. And the French paradox, you know, the French, they smoke their Gauloise, they eat a lot of pâté de foie, which is high fat, liver pâté, and yet they were free of cardiovascular disease, at least until recently, relatively free, not that much obesity. But the one thing that they didn't account for is that they consumed tons of olive oil. And so it was all attributed to the red wine. Turns out the red wine may not be the secret sauce. In this study, using obese mice with diabetes, they gave them something called linoleic acid, which is something olive oil is rich in. The obese mice with diabetes that were given oral linoleic acid weighed significantly less and showed better blood sugar regulation than before treatment compared to control obese mice not receiving the linoleic acid. The glucose lowering effect was comparable with that of the injectable diabetic medication liraglutide. That is one of those GLP-1 injectable shots for weight loss, and better than metformin, which is one of the most common oral medicines for type 2 diabetes. So, suggestion, olive oil. It may be that this compound within olive oil developed as a supplement, or there may be a way to enrich olive oil in its linoleic acid percentage. Linoleic acid is found in mature olives and extra virgin olive oil. It can also induce the release of GLP-1 and PYY. Well, we just talked about Calicurb. Olive oil, too, can be an adjunct to weight loss and appetite control for people who have metabolic syndrome. It turns out the linoleic acid significantly reduced food intake and promoted weight loss. And so, overall, the study showed that linoleic acid from olives has promising effects on hormone release and metabolic health, particularly in obese and diabetic conditions. So there you have it. Pour on the olive oil. There are a variety of components, not just linoleic acid. There are other polyphenols, oleuropein, and hydroxytyrosol. All of these compounds within olive oil have beneficial effects. And I'm a liberal user of really aromatic extra virgin olive oil rich in polyphenols with a little bit of a green tint and lots of flavor. All right. As our program draws to a close, let me remind you of some things that are going on. Whether you're a nutrition enthusiast or simply an individual looking to improve your well-being, check out a comprehensive new course from the American Nutrition Association. It's called Getting Started with Personalized Nutrition. So people ask, how can I learn about nutrition? Well, here's a self-paced one-hour course with video, reference sheets, and more, all with the goal of helping you harness the power of personalized nutrition. You'll learn how to optimize your energy levels, support your mental clarity, improve your GI function, enhance your physical performance, and maintain your metabolic health. The course is regularly $49, but special offer. As an Intelligent Medicine listener, you can get access to this vital content for just $29. Just go to the ANA.org/Hoffman. That's the ANA.org/Hoffman and use coupon code HOFFMAN29 to obtain the exclusive discount. The ANA believes that personalized nutrition holds the greatest potential to solve the chronic disease epidemic. And so go to ANA.org/Hoffman, use coupon code HOFFMAN29 for the Harness the Power Personalized Nutrition course. And don't forget our Free Speech for Health campaign. The Alliance for Natural Health stands as a guardian of your right to choose natural, sustainable healthcare options. It's more important than ever to stand up for our right to get truthful, accurate health information uncensored by social media. So just go to drhoffman.com/ANH. The campaign is Free Speech for Health with a number 4, freespeechforhealth.org, or go to drhoffman.com/ANH. I'll be matching all contributions there to a total of $5,000. So remember, drhoffmanstore.com, where you can shop hundreds of curated, vetted supplements. Go to deerhumpin.com for podcasts. Subscribe to our newsletter. Follow us on social media. We're on X and Facebook. And have yourself a safe and healthy holiday weekend. Enjoy.